Appellant.
May it please the court, Tim Crooks for the appellant Edgar Jimenez. Because of our audience today, I would like to say a couple of words, a couple of sentences about the facts. In the fall of 2010, Edgar Jimenez was a college student, and he also worked at a local power plant in the McAllen, Texas area. At some point, he was approached by a coworker named Juan Nunez, who said that he could make money by purchasing guns that he would then turn over to Juan Nunez, and he was to be paid $150 per gun. On three different occasions, Mr. Jimenez went and he purchased guns, and he made a false statement on the ATF 4473 form that he was the true purchaser of the guns, which was not true. On a fourth occasion, the gun shop, which was called the Armory, refused to sell guns to him, and at that point, he stopped this gun buying business. Mr. Jimenez received a 37-month prison sentence for this false statement case, and part of the reason he got that sentence was that his offense was treated as if it were unlicensed exportation of arms to Mexico. And at issue in this case is the cross-reference under the United States sentencing guidelines that the judge employed to take him from the normal gun for the normal guideline for firearms offenses over to the guideline for unlicensed exportation of arms to Mexico. And that chain for the court's reference is he went from 2K2.1, which is the guideline for firearms, over to 2X1.1, which is the guideline for inchoate offenses, and that sent the sentencer, in this case Judge Crane, back to 2M5.2, which is the sentencing guideline for unlicensed exportation. We challenged that cross-reference on two different grounds, either one of which would require resentencing in this case. Our first ground is that we submit that the predicate for the cross-reference, namely actual knowledge on the part of Mr. Jimenez that guns were going to Mexico, was not satisfied here.
Now, and actual isn't in the guideline. That's a word we added in the Johnson case, right? It just speaks of knowledge. Right?
I can tell you in just one second. That's true. It says with knowledge or intent.
But then we and Johnson say that means actual, so therefore that means you can't have constructive knowledge?
No. As I read Johnston, it requires actual
knowledge. You know, if any other circuit has taken that step? Because that tightens up what it looks to me the guidelines say.
Well, I think constructive knowledge would bleed over into what this court in Johnston said you couldn't do, right, which is to base it on a reason to believe or a should-have-known standard. To
me, or willful blindness, deliberate ignorance. That could be knowledge meaning notice. I guess my question is just, has any other circuit added the stringency of actual knowledge, which I agree with you, suddenly means you've got to have direct knowledge?
I'm not aware of any other circuits that's done so, but actually I think this circuit tends to have the most of these cases because we have such a large percentage of the border with Mexico. Yeah. And that's where a lot of these cases are coming out of, is alleged gun running to Mexico. We submit that under Johnston, the district court here applied the wrong legal standard because the district court applied what was a reasonable foreseeability, or what was forbidden in Johnston as the reason to believe standard, when it should have used the knowledge or intent standard that was laid out in Johnston. So we think that because the district court applied the wrong standard from the get-go, that this court could resolve this case simply by remanding to the district court for it to apply the correct test to the cross-reference in the first instance.
And the district court, in fact, well, you let me know if I'm right or not, but the district court said it was reasonable to foresee that he knew. Was
that the standard? Exactly, Your Honor. And that was actually at paragraph 72 of the pre-sentence report, and also at page 2A, capital A, of the PSR addendum, which the district court adopted, and that's at ROA 227. And so, but there's even more than that to show us that the district court was using the wrong standard, because Mr. Jimenez had objected to enhancements under 2K2.1B5 and B6. And those enhancements, under a case called United States v. Juarez, can be applied on a reason to believe basis.
And I don't want to fast forward too much, but if we agree that he applied that enhancement incorrectly, we also know that what he did is he applied a minor role reduction in connection with that. Is that right?
He did apply a two-level minor role enhancement, and I think what Your Honor's getting at is the government's argument about harmlessness.
Right.
And what I would say there is that we disagree with the government's characterization of what Judge Crane did. We don't think that it's clear that Judge Crane would not give the minor role enhancement if he sentenced under 2K2.1.
That the net effect is it is harmless because it doesn't matter. He would have landed at the same spot.
No, he wouldn't. If he had gotten the minor role without the cross-reference, he would have been at a lower guideline range. He would have been at 30 to 37 months instead of 37 to 46.
Let me finish my question then, because I'm asking, he applied the minor role when he went to the cross-reference.
That's correct, but...
But in order for this to matter, your position, I think, is that he could apply the minor role even without going to the cross-reference, which he incorrectly applied.
Absolutely. He could have applied the cross-reference, and in fact, we're saying that would have been the right application of the guidelines, because for purposes of the guidelines, his offense, which is defined under the guidelines as offense of conviction plus relevant conduct, is exactly the same under either guideline. So as a legal matter, we take the position that he was eligible for the two-level minor role. But I think one thing that's important in the contention that we're making about the application of the wrong standard is that because that was preserved, the government has the burden of showing harmlessness. And I don't think on this record the government can say for absolute certain that Judge Crane would not apply a minor role reduction even under 2K2.1. And in fact, the guidelines tell us that that is a decision that should be left to the district court in the first instance because it is so fact intensive. And so we would urge that if the court does agree with us that the wrong standard was applied, that the court should remand the case and let Judge Crane apply the right standard and make the decision in the first instance about the minor role under 2K2.1. Our second argument, which the court does not have to reach if the court agrees with us on the standard, is that even with the cross-reference, Mr. Jimenez should have gotten a three-level reduction under 2X1.1B. And the way that works is this. The cross-reference sends you to 2X1.1, which is the guideline for inchoate offenses like attempt, conspiracy, solicitation. 2X1.A tells you to apply the guideline for the intended offense, the object offense. 2X1.1B tells you subtract three levels if the offense was meaningfully incomplete. The government argues that this offense was not incomplete because some of the guns that were purchased by others in this scheme actually did make it to the Mexican border. They were recovered at the checkpoint. But as we explained in our reply brief, none of those guns was a gun for which Mr. Jimenez was held responsible under relevant conduct principles. In other words, they weren't part of the quote-unquote offense vis-a-vis Mr. Jimenez. And there's no evidence that any of the guns attributed to him ever made it to Mexico. In fact, they were never recovered. The government also makes an argument that under 2X1.1C, the district court was required to apply 2M5.2 directly, which would mean that Mr. Jimenez would not get the three-level reduction under 2X1.1B. But what is critical is that 2X1.1C applies only where an inchoate offense is expressly covered. That's the phrase used by the guideline, expressly covered by another guideline. Furthermore, application note to 2X1.1 gives a list of guidelines that do expressly cover attempts, conspiracy, solicitation, and 2M5.2 is not in that list. And furthermore, if you go to 2M5.2, it does not expressly reference any sort of inchoate offense. So 2X1.1C is plainly inapplicable, and we submit that the district court did plainly err in failing to subtract out the three levels.
Boy, once upon a time, I knew all those different numbers. But let me get back, if I could, just back factually. Did the district court made a statement at sentencing that to the defendant, you know these guns got to the cartel, some version of that. There's no way to perceive that to imply he was finding that this young man knew they were going to the Mexicans?
No, okay. I don't think so. I think it was a generalized statement, I think, expressing Judge Crane's knowledge acquired over the course of many, many cases that guns are making it to Mexico, because there are cases where they actually have been traced to Mexican crimes.
Okay, second question. If I remember, this young man cooperated fully. It's just that everybody he cooperated against had already been convicted. Do we have in the record, did he ever say at that point, and I knew they were going to Mexico?
He never did.
Never did.
And that is an unusual feature of this case, because I can tell you that these cases, as in this case, what typically happens is ATF does not arrest immediately. They do like they did for Mr. Jimenez. They went to his house. They interviewed him. He was willing to cooperate. So they let it go for a while. And it turned out that his information was not useful because the people that he could give information about had already been arrested and or convicted.
So Nunez gets how much time? 10 years?
He
got a lot of time.
Yes.
So your theory, and you think it's throughout the record, is that Nunez knows where they're going, but he's hiring these young kids who have really, they're just walking in the door and buying the gun, giving it to them.
And that is the sad truth, is that there are many college-age kids like Mr. Jimenez that got recruited to do this, and they find themselves on the receiving end of years and years of federal prison. And if they're like Mr. Jimenez and don't have information to get a 5K motion, they're out of luck, because the judges in McAllen tend
Last
to stick
question.
With the guidelines.
Thank you. But therefore, your position is, as we've interpreted in Johnson, that you almost have complete deniability for the cross-reference unless you make an actual statement, right? How else can the government prove the exportation fact,
well,
your actual knowledge, without the defendant saying, and I knew they were going to the Ukraine or whatever?
Well, for example, the facts show here that after they went to the armory and got the guns, they went to the parking lot of La Michoacana, which is a meat market, and there was a transfer of the guns. If, for example, people had been identified as being from Mexico, or if the cars that the people were driving had Mexican plates, I've seen cases where all of those things happened and the defendants were found to have known that they were going to Mexico.
Circumstantial evidence can get big enough that knowledge is imputed, actual knowledge.
Yes, but I have to say, most of these cases I've seen, because the ATF goes to these defendants very early on, they make statements generally admitting they knew they were going to Mexico. It is a rarity to have a case like this where you don't have that sort of record and where you don't have the record of circumstantial evidence to let someone form the conclusion that the guns are going to Mexico. And so we would ask that this court vacate Mr. Jimenez's sentence and remand for resentencing. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
May it please the court, Terry Lee O'Malley for the government. I'd like to focus on two issues here today. The first is that, given the undisputed facts in the PSR, the common sense inference that Judge Crane made is perfectly plausible. And that is the standard that we're facing here. In light of the record as a whole, given the facts that were before the court, the inference that Mr. Jimenez knew where the guns were going, that he knew the assault rifles he purchased were going to Mexico, is perfectly plausible. And as a result, the defendant cannot show clear error. The second issue is the issue.
Well, it wouldn't necessarily be clear error if the government attorney says apply Juarez. and the PSR says go with reasonable foreseeability. So all that this district court is being told by probation and the government is incorrect legal standards. No one's saying you've got to get actual knowledge.
Your Honor, I know that that is one interpretation of that paragraph of the PSR. However, I don't think it's the obvious interpretation.
But didn't the AUSA say Juarez controls?
No, it did not.
Really?
Okay. No, I don't. I could be wrong about that, but I don't think so. It did refer to reasonable foreseeability, but that was in reference to the relevant conduct, and the relevant conduct would have to be redetermined.
I guess another way of asking is, did the district court ever say, and I find Jimenez has actual knowledge that they're going to Mexico? Did she ever say that?
He did not. He did not say that. And I would address that at this point as well. I do not believe that actual knowledge is required. And as Your Honor has pointed out, how else would the government show it? So if we're dealing with complete actual...
Judge Smith in the Johnson decision said actual knowledge, right? That was his phrase.
Your Honor, that could be the actual phrase, but that would, I believe, distort the standard.
That's controlling on us.
Well, Your Honor, if that is the case, if that is controlling, that is, if direct evidence is required rather than circumstantial evidence, then the situation that we're in here comes right back to what Judge Gray
said. But that's not what that's, well, but what it says is actual knowledge. And the question I'm asking is, what evidence is there in this case that Jimenez had actual knowledge?
Your Honor, actual knowledge can be inferred. I know that we're getting into this dispute.
All right, that's a reasonable inference based on what evidence?
Yes, Your Honor, based on the number of firearms Jimenez purchased, the type of firearms purchased, that they were all assault rifles, the frequency of purchases, that he made three purchases within less than a week, that he attempted to make another one, the suspicious circumstances that surrounded it, the number of people involved, the fact that counter-surveillance was set up.
Well, that's all that he's a straw purchaser. I'm sorry. That's he's a straw purchaser. He's giving them to bad guys, gangs, but what yet says Mexico?
Your Honor, what says Mexico here, there are a couple of things I think that are not clear in the record, but are certainly there. And that is that this was a very large fire trafficking organization, and Judge Crane had already sentenced everyone else involved prior to getting to the point of Mr. Jimenez. So he had the full view of the organization. He knew the extent of it. In addition...
He knew...
We can't affirm this sentence based on that. I mean, that's not our record.
That's the judge knows, but that's...
Actually, Your Honor, it is in the record because it's in the PSR.
But you that's saying the judge knew from all the cases that he'd sentenced, but that's not saying the defendant knew, which is obviously what has to be found.
Your Honor...
At the whole point
where
of
else were they going? I think
where else? The government, the United States, got a lot of AK-47s.
Their guns. Well, I'm not going to say it, but you say where else are they going? I mean,
they were going to Mexico. Well, everyone living on the border knew they were going to Mexico.
He had to know that they were going to Mexico. It's not like there aren't people in the United States who possess, own, love guns.
Yes, Your Honor. However, they have no need of 23. Those are, I believe, Judge Higginbotham's
weapons. I bet you
weapons.
Could get some American citizens to debate you on that, but you go ahead.
Even some judges on this court.
Yeah.
What Ibarra-Luna is a really high harmlessness standard. If they properly object to an error, we don't usually say, well, you would get there. It's an extremely high burden for you. And their irrelevant conduct point is a pretty good one. This kid was working for Coca-Cola, right? She was sympathetic to that. And when I read it, she was looking for leniency in a lot of ways. And so I could easily, and I'm sorry, I keep saying she, Judge Crane engaged in a dialogue that looked like there was leniency here. And he might well have given a minor role as differently charged.
Your Honor, Judge Crane made a plausible inference to apply the cross-reference that he did not need to make. As you have pointed out, there is some case law that says it should be actual knowledge, and he knew there was nothing in that record.
I'm asking on the harmlessness point. How could we say no matter what, he wouldn't give the minor role if we didn't have the cross-reference? He wouldn't still say, well, relevant conduct's a big smuggling ring, and therefore, based on the full crime, not just the offense of conviction, I'm going to give you extra 2 points because you're a kid that can do it, can do right, and I want to do that.
Your Honor, he had, of course, every opportunity to vary downward. However, he did not, and when I say he, I mean Mr. Jimenez, did not qualify for the role reduction in a straw purchase. And in fact, Judge Crane had already denied that reduction to someone else who was involved in this Leja, who had only made one purchase. And he said, I'm sorry, you do not qualify. You were pertinent, absolutely essential to the offense of straw purchase. He might have been a small player in the full-scale firearms trafficking. However, he was absolutely essential to the crime of straw purchase. It would be like saying, if I said to Mr. Crooks, let's go rob a bank, I think I'll just stay out in the car and you go in and pull a gun on someone, that somehow or another I wasn't still liable for this because he was the one who actually went in. We are both equally responsible, and there's no way to establish that Mr. Jimenez would have been a minor participant in the straw purchase. Therefore, if we went back, we would once again have a 24 because that role reduction would not apply.
But I think their argument is, and I don't want to speak for them, but I think their argument is that the court is looking at all of the relevant conduct and not just the offense to which he entered a plea of guilty, and that taking into account all of the relevant conduct, the court could then determine that his role as regards all the relevant conduct, the totality of it, was minor. I think that's the upshot of the argument.
Yes, Your Honor, and that is possible. However, this is one point where Judge Crane was absolutely unambiguous, saying in the trafficking offense, the exporting offense, I find you were a minor participant. I think it was very clear that he distinguished between what he would have done if it had been straw purchase and what he did in the cross-reference. And in that case, I believe it's very clear that had he been sentencing him simply for the straw purchase, he had no intention applying the two-level role reduction because, in fact, Mr. Jimenez did not qualify for it. In short, I guess all roads lead to a 21. He could have, it was within his power to have applied a two-level role reduction, despite the fact that Mr. Jimenez was absolutely essential to that offense, but he certainly was not required to, and I cannot imagine even that he would. So while we can't get into Judge Crane's head and say, would he or would he not, he has already said that someone who is even less culpable than Mr. Jimenez did not and was not entitled to the role reduction. And this was in the same organization. Your Honors, I'd like to just touch on briefly the final point that Mr. Crooks made regarding the three-level reduction. And this is, I guess, the purpose of the government's 28J, and I think also answers your question, Judge Graves. The way the cross-reference works, or the cross-reference 2X1.1, plays a double role in the guidelines. On one hand, 2X1.1 for inchoate crimes is the direct guideline. So for conspiracies that do not have their own guideline for attempts, et cetera, then that is the direct reference. And in that case, it would matter whether the attempt was completed, whether the conspiracy achieved its object. But in this case, it is simply a conduit that gets from 2K1.1 back to 2M5.2, I believe it is, which is the illegal exportation. And as this court noted in an unpublished opinion in Caballero, there is simply no reason to go back to 2X1.1. I should know these better myself. So there is no reason even to go back to that. But also, if we did do as defense suggested, as Mr. Crooks has suggested, if we went back to 2X1.1, if we deducted that, then that would, of course, be the guideline. It would no longer be 2M5.2. It would be 2X1.1, and that is not the guideline. The guideline for the cross-reference is the illegal exportation. Now, in the illegal exportation, there are no other offense characteristics. There is only the 26 with the possibility for upward or downward departure. So in that case, we're once again led back to, if the cross-reference applies, then it's going to be 24. When the three levels are deducted, it'll be 21. So in any event, whether we do go to that guideline or not, we're always going to have to come back to 2M5.2, and that is a 26. And then we go back with the two levels for the roll reduction, and we're back in the same quagmire. So essentially what the government is saying is that's simply, there's no support for that. There's no support for going back to 2X1.1. It complicates matters unduly. It suggests that 2X1.1 is the guideline rather than 2M5.2. And there is no plain error because this is simply not decided. And to the extent that this court has addressed it, they have determined that there is no support for going back to 2X1.1. So the two points that the government is making here, one is that there was a plausible inference based on the facts, and they were substantial facts. There was the proximity to the border. Everyone on the border knows where the guns are going. They know that that kind of cash purchase is not going to be your average gun enthusiast. It's not going to be a gun collector. They were paid for with cash. The individual who took possession of the assault rifles was driving a Hummer one time. He was driving a Jaguar one time. There were enormous amounts of money involved in this, money that to anyone on the border would say cartel, would say these assault rifles have only one destination, and that destination is Mexico. And also, as the government has also pointed out, this is a harmlessness case. While we can speculate that perhaps maybe he would have applied a roll reduction, it's also very clear Mr. Jimenez did not qualify for a roll reduction. Because if the cross-reference is not made, if we stay at 2K2.1, the offense is strictly straw purchase. And he was held responsible only for those 23 firearms he was responsible for, either that he purchased himself, that he attempted to purchase himself, or that he saw the other individual purchase. So he was not, if we're applying 2K2.1, he was not held responsible under relevant conduct for anything involving the exportation. All he was held responsible for was the straw purchase, and he was absolutely essential to the straw purchase. He was not peripheral in any way to the straw purchases that he made. The government respectfully requests that this court affirm his sentence. If your honors have no further questions.
No. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rebuttal.
If I heard the government correctly, I understood the government to concede that one interpretation of the record is that Judge Crane did apply the wrong standard in applying the cross-reference. And I would suggest that even under that scenario, as I pointed out in the reply brief, where there's ambiguity about whether the district court made an error of law, the proper course still is to remand. So even if the court agreed that it's not crystal clear, if there is ambiguity sufficient to think he might have done it, you should remand as well. I did want to talk about the 3B1.2 issue, our point is simply this. The offense for Mr. Jimenez, whether under the 2M5.2 or under 2K2.1, is exactly the same. It is 23 firearms that were straw purchased, and 19 of those were purchased or attempted to be purchased by him. Four of them were by another person. Had he been convicted of the conspiracy to export arms to Mexico, that would have been his relevant conduct too. And that's our point, is the offense is the same, therefore the role in the offense is the same. But I don't think the court needs to go there, because I think harmless error counsels that this court give Judge Crane to make the opportunity to have the opportunity to make the ruling in the first place. And if you look at the commentary to the minor role guideline, it says you can get minor role even if you are only popped from the guideline standpoint for what you personally did. Well, Mr. Jimenez had a little bit more. He got popped for what someone else did. But even if you only are attributed what you personally did, you can still get minor role. And the guidelines say this is an extremely fact-intensive determination, which suggests to me that it's most properly made by the district court. And in fact, I think that's why this court gives such great deference to district courts when it's reviewing the refusal to give minor role, because it is very fact-intensive, and it's something that the district court has a much better feel about. And so we would submit that the government has not carried its burden under Ibarra-Luna to show that this is harmless, because it is not only possible, but we submit plausible that Judge Crane would give that reduction even without the cross-reference. I do want to make another point, which goes to what was said about Judge Crane showing leniency to Mr. Jimenez. It was very obvious Judge Crane was hoping that Mr. Jimenez would qualify for a 5K. The case was continued a couple of times. Judge Crane told him at the plea, 5K is going to be your best friend. The sentence was put off once because the prosecutor in charge of the case was not there, and the defense attorney was still hoping Mr. Jimenez would get a 5K. Turns out he never did, because his information was no longer useful. But since this case was sentenced, this court has held that cooperation not resulting in a 5K can be taken into account as mitigation under 3553A. And I think Judge Crane would consider that if the case were remanded. And I think that's just a small...
Did he let himself surrender?
Pardon me?
He let himself surrender.
He did. And he got, I believe, the lowest sentence of anyone in this whole scheme that I can think of. I may not be remembering everyone, but I think the next lowest sentences were 46 months. Judge Crane was impressed by Mr. Jimenez, by his work ethic, by the fact he was trying to go to school. I think that the result would be different on remand, but that's not the standard this court has to find. The court has to find simply that the government has not shown that it wouldn't be different, and I think that's definitely the case here. So we would ask the court to vacate and remand. And unless the court has any further questions, I'll let you go home.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cook.
Thank you.
The court will take these matters under advisement.